I remember Brother Branham saying, if a Catholic man is trusting in the Catholic Church for salvation, he's lost. Baptist man, Methodist, Pentecostal, if you're trusting in your church, if you're trusting in anything you've done, you're lost. If a message person is trusting in their church or something they've done or some works, you're lost. But Brother Branham said, if any person is solemnly trusting in the finished work on Calvary, they're saved. I believe that. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away? Let's just sing that to the Lord. Of Jesus. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood, Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood, Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood, hallelujah. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Oh, nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood. Listen now, naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood. This is all. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood. Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of glory, glory, glory. Thus I sing, nothing but the blood. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Praise you, Lord. Amen. You know, I get the impression sometimes that some Christians, you know, think, you know, well, that's what you say, but that's not really what you mean. Because we know there's that, but then, you know, then you got to do this and you got to do this. I don't believe that at all. Amen. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing can save you. We are justified in the sight of God. That means as we should be, right? In the sight of God, by our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. Justification by faith. That became such a revelation to Luther, this works laden in the dark ages. He had to do this. He would beat himself. He worked in it, and no peace came within him. But one day he read the word of God, and the word of God was open to him, and he said, "The just shall live by faith." And that was an explosion in his mind. He said, it's not all these relics. It's not all these works. It's not what I have to do. It's all about my faith in what he did for me on Calvary. Amen. And that faith carries you. Yes, it leads you to other things. But that faith has to be pure. It can't be, well, yeah, it's a little bit of my faith, but then it's a whole lot more about my works. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's legalism. God hates legalism because it takes away from what he did on the cross. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe. And now the devil is so clever. He comes now. He changes his mask, you know, the devil. He'll come as a hideous rock and roll satanic group, and then he'll change his mask and he'll sing another sweet song. That's what he does. He tried to kill the Christians in the early church. He tried to destroy Christianity and just poured out blood after blood. And then he looked back, he said, it ain't working, they ain't getting stronger.
Amen.
Persecution makes you strong.
Amen.
Makes your faith strong. But then the devil's clever. He says, all right, what we'll do, we'll create a false religion. See, the devil knows about religiousness. He's more religious than anybody.
Amen.
And he created these false ideas and false. He knows if the word's pure, they got power behind it. But if we could just pervert that word a little bit. I went to Eve and said, surely you won't die. And she went for it. And he uses the same tactics. Isn't that what the prophet told us? He showed us the tactics of the devil. And he created false religion. And now we got, you know, you look at the Catholic Church today, they're so far. But see, he didn't stop there. Luther's movement was of God. But then behind Luther, the devil come in the midst and he created false ideas and he created an institution. Denominationalism is the mark of the beast.
Amen.
We were set free from that. We were ripped out of that by a prophet of God. Somebody would say, Brother Branham was rude. That's right. Elijah was a spirit that could be very rude.
Amen.
But he had a job.
Yes, sir.
He had to tear out a bride.
Amen.
From the stronghold of the churches.
Amen.
Oh, thank God he's here to save.
Amen.
See, so the devil, he changes his mask. And now we got the message of the hour, and it's been a delay, you know, which God already knew about the delay, right? And so now we have people, and the devil, do you think he's going to say, well, a real prophet came, and we're defeated. Let's just sit down. And no, the devil, he infiltrates the message of the hour. Brother Bram said, after every move of God, he said, the devil got into the men that followed it, and perverted that message. He said, every time it always happens.
Yes.
See, and now people, you know, Brother Rand said, people always look back at what great thing God did, but they miss the simple thing he used to do it. And so Brother Branham came in simplicity and in purity of faith, and he didn't try to reason anything. He was just a simple, humble Christian who believed God. And then what happened in this day, though, people following Brother Branham, they take his words with a wrong anointing and they twist his words to say something. They may say what he said, but emphasize a different meaning on it. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to be deceived.
Amen.
But if you have the Holy Spirit, you can't be deceived.
Amen.
See? See, because it's not just a letter that we're talking about, it's the spirit to apply the word correctly. And I've seen these cunning spirits take concepts around the message and try to paint a picture that the ending result moves people away from Calvary to trusting in something else. And they believe it's some higher form of the message. They believe this is God's provided way for this day. Listen, this whole message was restoration.
Amen.
I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Not bring a new concept, a new gospel, a new way to get saved. Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
We are contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not something new, something very old. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so glad that in my soul, I'm trusting in nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Of 2,000 years ago. Jesus of Nazareth, who walked this, he was not just a man, he was not just a prophet, he was God.
Amen.
The fullness of the Spirit of God poured into a man. See, and now, even if you're born again, you have a longing for more.
Amen.
I never met a Christian that I thought had the Holy Ghost that didn't want more.
Amen.
And you know why? I believe I know why. Because we get a portion. But to get out of here, there's a uniting that must happen. The bride and the bridegroom become one. And he has the fullness of the Spirit. So the bride that has a measure is longing for that time when she'll unite with the one that's the fullness of that Spirit. See, I believe you can be born again and you have the Holy Ghost, been baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you have a portion, but you're longing.
Amen.
Longing for Jesus.
Amen.
And I believe the time's coming very soon when there'll come such a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll bring this bride in a rapturing grace.
Amen.
The supernatural power of God. That's what we're longing for. See? Yes, we need to be born again now. If we're not with God now and what He's doing now, we're not going to be with Him then. See, but that's what that longing is. We know there's something more for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the song service, so that doesn't count any as the preaching time. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you love to worship the Lord?
Amen.
I appreciate what God has done for us.
Amen.
What He's done for me personally. I look back sometimes and I think, where would I be without Him?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I hate to think of it.
Amen.
You know, none of you folks knew me before. See, but I did. I know what I was. I know where I was going. And I was going the wrong way. But something happened one day.
Amen.
And I don't claim to be perfect. Like Paul says, not as though I had already attained or already perfect, but I pressed towards the mark.
Amen.
Leaving those things behind, pressing forward, I pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Little message on my heart today. I trust the Lord will bless you. Exodus chapter 3. Thank you, Amber. I hope she don't mind me picking on her. I pick on her all the time. Lord help me with that. Amen. Appreciate she's back. She had a nice trip to Israel.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 3. Let's bow our heads as before we read His word. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your hand in our lives, Lord. Lord, where would we be without You? I shudder to think, Lord, of what my life would be like today, what kind of person I would be. And Lord, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But Lord, I know because of You, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Lord, visit us today. Move in a supernatural way. Break open the bread of life to us, Lord. This is Your word. It's not my word, Lord. I ask You to move me aside, Lord. Take control of my being, my mind and my thoughts and my mouth. And open my mouth where it should be open and close it where it should be closed. And bless Your people. But Lord, bless them not with the word only, but with the Spirit with power, signs and wonders and miracles. Deliver them from any evil spirits that would hinder them, Lord God. Deliver them from all unbelief, all wrong thinking in their mind. Deliver them from all sickness. Any spiritual issue, Lord, may today be the day of deliverance. You set the captives free. That's what you do, Lord. Set us free today to worship you. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus 3, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 10. This is very familiar, but let's see if we can catch something today. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land, unto a land, a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, one thing that's wonderful about the Bible is, you know, we've read it many times, but on any given day, God can take something that we've read a dozen, two dozen times, and he can speak to you from a portion of his word. See, because the word is not just letter. The Bible is alive when the Spirit of God anoints the Bible. So he communicates to us through this word. It's just like any part of the written word. It's not necessarily technically what it says. It's what God's saying in the present day that you feed on it, right? It's spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
God has food in its season, and that's the way he speaks to us. I don't know about you, but that's the way. I mean, I'm always stunned that it never ceases to amaze me that I'll read something in the Bible I've always read, but then I see something I never saw before.
Amen.
So God is so multidimensional, you know. He is the most exciting thing there is.
Amen.
In life is God.
Amen.
And if we really could grasp that truth, we would pray more. We would seek him more. We would want to do his will more because he's exciting. And he is all that's good.
Yes, sir.
And everything that this world has to offer is just bad. See, and it leads us the wrong way. God, help us to see.
Amen.
Help us to see, you know, the glory.
Amen.
That he's, the opportunity he's given us. So praise the Lord. I want you to notice the verse there in verse 7 where he said, and the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. Now how long had they been down in Egypt? A long time. 400 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have seen the affliction of my people and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. That's the title of the message today. I know their sorrows. God knows our sorrows. You believe that?
Amen.
Sometimes we get a little bit like, God don't care about me. God can't, he's not, you know, he's not helping me. Look at, he knows your sorrows.
Amen.
He saw what Israel was going to go through before any of them were born. Do we understand that?
Amen.
See, sometimes we understand something here, but we don't really get it down here. He saw Israel go through this 400 years of problems down in Egypt, and he told Abraham about it before it ever happened. Is that right? Praise the Lord. You know, the same is true for us. You know, sometimes we do feel like nobody cares, nobody sees us. God cares. God sees you. There's a purpose in it. There's a purpose. There's a plan. Well, God's plan, his plan includes me having sorrow? Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah, it does. Well, I don't like that. All right, now you're God now. What you're saying is, when you get an attitude with God, hey, I'm God. You're not God. And we need to get a clue. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Life does not revolve around us, okay? Some people, like the tip of this microphone, life revolves around them. You know, they, if it's good for me, it's good for the world. But the truth is, God is the center of life. And all life revolves around him and his purpose and his plan. Do you realize in the plan of God, before the foundation of the world, he saw Christ, the Lamb of God, giving his life. Sorrow, pain. Why would he do that? We don't want sorrow and pain. Listen, sorrow and pain, whether you like it or not, it produces something. And what I've noticed, because the Bible testifies of it, the people in the world also have sorrow and pain. By the way. But see, it doesn't produce the same thing when they're not trusting and holding on to the Lord. But somebody who is placed in a trial, a very difficult, and they carry pain, but in their heart, they're trusting God, it produces something different. And actually, it produces something precious. So we need to trust God. In the Lord, no matter what situation we're faced. Don't let the devil get you down in a pity party.
Amen.
Say, woe is me. Look at all my problems. Amen. Come on, we're Christian warriors.
Amen.
We're warriors for God. We're in God's army.
Amen.
We're rugged people.
Amen.
Brother John, I ain't rugged. Maybe you're more rugged than you think. Because the Bible said he wouldn't put no more on you than you could handle.
Amen.
And I think we've all been to that place where we have situations in life where we're looking at God saying, I don't know, Lord. I mean, you said I can handle this. And we start to question that word. You said you wouldn't put nothing on, more on me than I could handle. Well, I'm feeling like I can't handle this today. You ever been there? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we really need to let that faith kick in at those times. And say, you know what? He promised me he wouldn't put more on me than I could handle. He promised me. He also promised me, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in his word that he loved me. He died for me. You see, my commission, personal commission, I didn't ever believe God wanted me to preach. I remember I used to drive down the road singing songs, and this is when I first got around church people, and then it was like I was leading songs, driving down the road. And I would feel guilty about it. I was like, who do you think you are? Think you're going to lead songs? I know I'm a bad person. Bad person. Yeah, that's the way we are. See, but the Spirit of God's eternal. He knew someday I was going to lead songs. Right? But here we get all guilty-minded. God doesn't want that. Amen. He died on Calvary to get rid of your guilt.
Amen.
To get rid of your shame.
Amen.
Don't carry guilt and shame. Run to Calvary and get rid of it. See, so, but, you know, time goes on and then I'm feeling called to preach. It wasn't that I thought intellectually I want to preach, but I would be out as a security guard outside in the wintertime, and I was preaching to the cars, and nobody's around. Occasionally somebody would show up and see me, and they thought, this guy is off. Do you know, when I first got saved, the only song I knew was Amazing Grace.
Amen.
And I sang it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it never got old.
Amen.
I never said, Lord, I could use a new song. Because that song just summed it up to me.
Amen.
Amazing grace.
Yes, sir.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Amen.
I was blind, but now I can see.
Praise the Lord.
I appreciated it because I knew God touched me and changed me. See, and then there's a lot of circumstances that happen. You know, I did a lot of praying about preaching. I remember Maureen probably remembers we went to a friend of Maureen's funeral at a Catholic church, you know, and a lot of the Catholic songs are kind of weird, you know, a little bit. But some of them, when they're based on Scripture, they're not so bad. And there was a song here. I didn't even know the guy who died. I was just going with Maureen, and it was a friend of hers. And it was this, you know, Catholic big church. And this song starts going, here I am, Lord. And I'm praying. Do you really want me to pray? I can't do it. Just like Moses, he didn't think he could do it. And anybody called by God doesn't think they can do it. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? That was my question.
Amen.
I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart.
Amen.
It's a Catholic song. So here I am in the Catholic church weeping. You know, and then people were like leaving and then, oh, he must have loved that guy, you know. I didn't even know him. God can speak to you anywhere.
Amen.
Anywhere you go, see.
Amen.
When you're seeking God, when you're really seeking God, he can use anything to talk
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
He can use a person. He can use your Bible. He can use a bumper sticker on the back of a car.
Amen.
See, because when you're seeking with all your heart, you're more sensitive.
Amen.
See, and he knows that you're seeking him. Oh, let's seek God with
Amen.
All the heart.
Amen.
Let's seek God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's really, when you do it with all your heart, it is the most exciting thing you can ever do.
Amen.
Because he promised, when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I was seeking him and he was calling me. A lot of different things happened. And then one day, and I didn't realize it at the time. It's only years later that I look back. That was the commission he gave me. And I remember where I was standing, and we were renting a house on Ardsley Avenue in Glenside. And I had come out of the house. It was dark at night. And there's nobody around in the neighborhood. It was a busy neighborhood, but at that time of night, nobody's around. And I walked down the steps to the street, and I just, Lord, Do you really want me to do this? It's something I can't explain it now. Just come around me. An atmosphere. And like I can identify when Brother Bram says, now that won't hurt you. That's him. Like people got in a prayer line and they could feel, they walked into an atmosphere. They would try and describe it. But that come around me. And all I could say was just love. I can't even describe it. You know, really, there's no words to describe it. But a voice spoke to me. And what's interesting, he didn't address any of my questions about myself or anything. Like, I can't do this, I can't do that. All he said was this. I want you to tell the people that I love them, that I died for them, and they're free.
Amen.
That was so real, as if a man was standing there talking to me. That's my commission. I don't care what anybody else preaches. That's what I'm going to preach.
Amen.
That's what I see in the Bible. That's what I see in the message. He died to set us free. He loves you.
Amen.
I don't feel any of us deserve that, but he loves us. I feel that despite me, God loves me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So come back to the message. He knows your sorrows. When we're in sorrow, when we're in a trial, when we're carrying pain, that's not easy. And that's when the devil sees us as vulnerable. And he's going to test your faith. You say you believe him? All right. Remember Brother Branham had that trial where he lost his wife Hope, and then his little baby was sitting there and she was dying and she was twitching in pain and her eyes crossed. See, and think about it. When he got into his ministry later, that spirit that crossed the little person's eyes couldn't stand before him. Because God forged that prophet in the suffering of watching his little girl in pain and crossing her eyes. He said that spirit couldn't stand before it. His ministry, that always was cast out and the eyes went right. Praise God.
Amen.
Suffering is for a reason. There's a purpose why you're in the situation you're in. Don't ever doubt his love for you.
Amen.
Sometimes you're in an extremely difficult situation because he's given you more grace. You're actually special. I don't want to be special. Well, tough. Tough. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. He loves us, brother and sister.
Amen.
He is not against us. When you're going through life, you have to get this one thing in your mind. God is not against you. He's for you. And that thought is what the devil is constantly going to try and attack your mind and trying to convince you that God is against you, God's mad at you, God's condemning you. It's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
He died so we could be free.
Amen.
And if we stumble and fall and we sin against God or grieve God in any way, he provided a way for us to escape.
Amen.
If you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive you of your sins.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He provides. That sacrifice is there. See, until he comes off the throne and literally just wraps the bride out of here. See, then it turns from blood on the throne to a white throne judgment. We know that time is coming. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. We know that time's coming where there won't be any more grace. But now there is a time of grace, I believe. Until that day, until that moment of the rapture, I believe we can plead for mercy.
Amen.
And we should every day.
Amen.
You know, and when I hear a prophet of God say that we all backslide many times every day,
amen.
He was including himself. He said in a minor way, he's talking about, in a minor way, we backslide every day. In your thoughts, you might think something wrong, or, you know, or you might say something wrong, or, you know, not that, you know, he's not talking about going out and murdering some every day. He's saying in a minor way, sometimes we backslide every day, all of us. So that should lead us with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's a consuming fire. And he'll show you where you're wrong. He'll show you where other people are wrong. But he doesn't always require you to go fix other people. But when he shows you where you're wrong, that's where you need to repent.
Amen.
So we should be in a continual state of repentance.
Amen.
Not thinking highly of ourselves, but realizing we're nothing without him.
Amen.
See, lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind, each esteeming the other better than themselves. See, how do people get to the place where they're lifted up and they're haughty? They're not repenting about anything. I say they're not praying. Prayer is where God shows you where you're wrong, where it wasn't in the front of your conscience.
Amen.
When we're praying, you know, and I do believe the Lord's Prayer is an outline he gave to us. You know, and it's not just like you say, like the Catholics, you know, abused all that, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let thy kingdom come. That's a mindless praying where Jesus says they think for their much speaking they'll be blessed, you know. But no, you dwell on it when you're praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, worthy are you, Lord. Worship the Lord. He's worthy to be worshipped. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
Amen.
I will enter his courts with praise.
Amen.
That's how you approach God. And then you take parts of that prayer. And how about the part of the prayer where it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Yes.
You know, I recommend everybody, because this is experience I have. When I get to that part, I wait a little bit. And sometimes God will show you got a grudge against somebody and you don't even realize it. You haven't forgiven somebody. And it's not in your front conscious of your mind, but it's back. It's hidden deep. See? And you haven't forgiven somebody. And when you haven't forgiven somebody, it affects your demeanor. It affects your behavior. It affects your actions. You're carrying bitterness and you don't know it. Forgive us our sins. We all want that.
Amen.
As we forgive those who sin against us. You know, right now, let's just take a moment. I believe he's here today.
Amen.
Amen.
We can pray in our hearts, Lord, is there someone in my life that I am unconsciously not forgiving?
Amen.
And if somebody comes to your mind, listen. You need to set them free.
Amen.
You need to release them. You need to say, God, I forgive them. Even if you can't feel it, you say it. Let your faith release them. You declare that you release them. You're releasing yourself. You're not holding them prisoner. You're holding yourself prisoner. Do you realize if we don't release and forgive everybody what they've done, God can't forgive us? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, Brother John, I just wanted to come to church. I didn't want it to get so personal today. You know, that's what I love about God. He gets personal.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He gets down deep to where the problem really is. Because he roots out the problem. And sometimes he has to cut out the problem. You know, I had a little thing on my eye. You probably didn't even notice it. And they had to cut it off. And now you can't even see where it was. There's nothing I could have done to get rid of that. It needed a sharp blade to cut it. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we need the Word of God.
Amen,
there's no other way for it to be cut out.
Amen.
But God makes a clean cut.
Amen.
And He cuts what He needs to cut, and He brings the healing salve behind it.
Amen.
Oh, cut us, Lord.
Amen.
Cut out of us all that's wrong. When you go to pray, don't just go there to get. Go there to experience the Spirit of God and be open to whatever He would say to you. Because you can be sure He's trying to improve your life. He's trying to give you a more abundant life. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's get back to Israel. Whew, thank God He's going back to Israel.
Hallelujah.
Praise. So they are in Egypt. They've been there a long time. And they're in bondage and they're crying out to God. And God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and He told them, I am not the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses hides his face, and then God says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry by reason of attack. I know their sorrows. God knew their sorrows, and God knows your sorrows. Let's just be done with that. If there's any doubts about that, just put that out of your mind. That is wrong. God knows. God sees. God cares. He knew about the Egyptians. He told it to Abraham. Let's just look at that. I want to go to Genesis 15 and look at what God did with Abraham. Why don't we start with verse 1, Genesis 15. After these things, that was after he rescued Lot and all that. Met Melchizedek. In Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, sometimes God makes a promise to us or declares something to us, and we're not just feeling it because we ain't seeing it yet. And that's what happened to Abraham. God said, Almighty God says to Abraham, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He should have been happy, right?
Amen.
And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of mine house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came. I love this. The word of the Lord came saying, This shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Woo!
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get to the place where it's like, it didn't happen, it didn't happen, maybe it's never going to happen. Lord, when's it going to happen? It's going to happen.
Amen.
Just the way He said it's going to happen. See, don't doubt. Have faith. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So here he is. He's got no seed. He's supposed to be a father of many nations. He's scratching his head. How am I going to be a father of many nations? I don't even have a son. I'm getting older. Right?
Amen.
God says, Fear not. I am thy seed. How can I? Wait, I got no kids. You know, Abraham was human. Brother Bram said, God didn't pick Abraham because he was good. He said, God picked Abraham by election.
Amen.
God didn't pick you and I because we're perfect.
Amen.
Right? He picked us by election.
Amen.
See? Grace. Praise God.
Amen.
So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. God counted Abraham as righteous. Why? Because he believed.
Amen.
The righteousness that cometh by faith. Praise God.
Amen.
He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took them him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now listen, if you care about something, you're not just going to let the devil come in and destroy it. But see, Abraham driving away the birds, that's not him earning anything. That's the natural reaction of somebody who cares. And when you serve God and you care about God, you're not going to let the devil just destroy your life. You automatically do things that are different because you believe.
Amen.
Because you believe. But that's the things you do, they don't save you. It's your faith. It's your faith in God. There's things that come automatically with faith. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell on him. It's like a nightmare, right? And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now let me stop there for a moment. 400 years. So he talks about the suffering, the affliction, the time frame, and he said, but listen, that nation I'm going to judge, and you're going to come out with great substance. But look, it took 400 years of affliction. And when you're in the midst of suffering and affliction, right, you can't even imagine. Sometimes the devil seems like he has the upper hand, and it looks like he's never going to face judgment. Sometimes there's people in your life who are in position of power, or they're causing suffering to you or other people. And it looks like they're never going to face judgment. Listen, it may take time, but they'll get theirs. See? Nobody gets away with anything.
Amen.
Listen, somebody might murder somebody or steal something or abuse somebody else or whatever, and nobody finds out about it, and it seems like they got away with it. But nobody gets away with anything. Some things that hinder people sometimes is they see somebody seemingly get away with something, and it bothers them. I'm like, no, they need to pay for that. Listen, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen.
You give that to God.
Yes, amen.
It's not your job to make sure everybody else has their punishment.
Amen.
Maybe it's not time yet.
Amen.
That's right.
It's good, brother. Amen.
Maybe it's not time yet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We spend too much time worrying about other people. We need to focus on inside. Our greatest enemy is self. If we can just die to ourselves, Jesus can come alive.
Amen.
Don't focus on fixing other people. That is one of the biggest problems amongst Christianity.
Amen.
The devil has distracted you about other people's faults and other people's problems, and is trying to get you to focus on that so that you don't focus on your greatest enemy, which is yourself.
Amen.
Because if you get yourself out of the way, the mighty conqueror,
amen.
The mighty conqueror comes
amen.
In. Woo!
Amen.
Come on, Jesus.
Amen.
I feel good today. I don't know, man.
Amen.
I know we're talking about sorrow, but I feel good because the devil's, he's licked. He's done. I see the end. He's done. He may be in control now. Listen, poor Donald's in control now, but listen, what's the end? What's the end?
Amen.
God help us.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, Jamie and I were talking about that 23 minutes in hell video. He had just looked at it again. And listen, there is a hell.
Amen.
There is a literal hell. There is a literal heaven. And there ain't no purgatory where you go sweat it out for a few million years. That's a lie of the devil. But what I notice about myself and mostly everybody is we don't like to think about hell. It's so bad that it just can't be in the forefront of our mind. So we kind of believe it, but we just put it aside.
Amen.
But listen, when you really believe there's a hell, you automatically become a witness.
Amen.
Because you don't want people to go to hell.
Right.
And if you can't articulate it good enough, give people that video. That guy has a wonderful testimony about the reality of hell, and he's got scripture to prove that it's real. Oh, Lord, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Even the people that treat me the worst, I don't want them to go to hell. Because I know the reason they're doing that is they got a bad spirit that's deceived them. Right? I told you, I got a boss who abuses people in the company that I'm working at. And I realize I need to forgive him and just let him go. See? Because it's affecting me. But I got to just release him, because you know what? God sees all that. And nobody gets away with anything. So in the end, I'll be feeling sorry for the guy. Even though now he's in power, and now he abuses his power. See? Don't ever abuse the power you have. See? Don't ever do that. See? Because God will hold you responsible for the power that you have. Listen, you have the power in your hands where you could, somebody could do something wrong, and you could make sure they get the punishment for that. Well, you better be careful how you mete out punishment. For the way you give it out, the way you get it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So if it's in your power, let's just say you have a relative or a friend or a coworker, and they've done something wrong, and all the situation comes, and then you have the power to really stick it to them. What are you going to do with it? Be careful with what you do with power. Choose mercy if you want mercy. Or maybe you don't want mercy. Maybe you want someone to put their thumb on you when you're wrong. No! I want mercy.
Amen.
I want mercy. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, so let's go back here. Fell on Adam, deep sea fell on. Great horror, 400 years. And nation I will judge. Verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark. I kind of like that. In the evening time, when the sun went down, it was dark. It's dark right now, brother and sister. It was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So what was that? God, the pillar of fire, I believe, come down in the midst of that, and he confirmed his covenant. Do you realize the pillar of fire making itself known in the last days? That is God confirming his covenant to us. He didn't bring us a new covenant, but he sent a prophet that proved to us that this Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is the absolute and the covenant of Calvary and the New Testament covenant. He confirmed that.
Amen.
That whole ministry proved that God is real, the Word of God is true, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He confirmed that with signs and wonders and miracles, and he confirmed it with the pillar of fire being taking his picture with the prophet of God. Do you realize what God has done for us? So he confirmed a covenant with Abraham. But notice, God told Abraham all about the suffering that was going to happen to his seed. Now, do you think Abraham never told anybody about it? I believe he did. I believe those stories were passed down generation to generation. So when it come time, the children of Abraham, they knew about this suffering. Maybe even some recognized it, and they say, look what's happening. Joseph died and the Egyptians. This is like the story that was told us for generations that we would be the children of Abraham. I believe that happened. That's my personal belief. You don't have to believe it. So, but knowing that suffering was promised doesn't make suffering any easier. Okay? I get that. The Egyptians putting in hard bondage on Israel, them knowing that God told Abraham about the suffering, that didn't make it any easier, especially if they're only in the first 100 years. Because they kind of knew, hey, this is going to be this way for 400 years, fourth generation. But those that got to the end of the time that was given, those that got to that fourth generation, they started to recognize, hey, we're at the end of this time that was promised. they could get excited, right? And I always say, when the children of Israel were down in Egypt, they were slaves, born slaves, died slaves. Born slaves, died slaves. Born slaves, died. But then one day, a little baby's born that wasn't going to die a slave. Woo!
Amen.
Do you realize what they were living in?
Amen.
People were born and they die. They're born and they die. Do you realize someday somebody's going to be born that never dies?
Amen.
That'll never taste death.
Hallelujah.
Could we be in that day?
Amen.
See, I believe there's something in the down in Egypt. There was something in those babies that were born and they're growing up. And somehow they heard about the story of 400. And they'd say, hey, that 400 years is up, isn't it, Papa? Yeah. So we're getting out of here, right? Well, they're still slaves. Then that man became a man. His name was Joshua. His name was Caleb. It's like, we're getting out of here. We are not going to be slaves forever. Even though they were slaves then. Right? Think about it. All the promises of God. You see, there's something in the bride of Christ that's on earth now that says, I look like everybody else as a human being, but I'm not like everybody else.
Amen.
Because in my spirit, I was born from above. Amen. And in my spirit, I'm longing for something. I believe something's going to happen, and I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 They had one thing. They may have remembered the suffering was promised, but they also could see deliverance was promised. Deliverance was promised. Praise God. So he said, know of a surety you'll be afflicted 400 years, and a nation that they serve will be judged, and afterward they will come out with great substance. So God puts a timeline on it, just like Jeremiah, you know, he said 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied 70 years, you're going to be down there. Daniel could look back and say, hey, Jeremiah said 70 years. Right? Is that what happened? Bible readers know the truth. Daniel looked at Jeremiah's prophecy, and it was towards the end of the 7 years, and then that causes Daniel to pray. Because he recognizes, hey, we're at the end of this promised time. Lord, forgive us. Lord, save us. Lord, get us out of here. That should be our prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, can't you see we're at the end of something here? God has, he's shown us that the time is over. Time is over. We are near the time of deliverance. I realize the world is just getting darker and darker and darker. The church world's darker and darker and darker. But listen, if you look and you see what God promised, he promised 7 church ages. There are not going to be another 7 church ages. We are at the end of the last one.
Amen.
Anybody can see that clearly. There were 7 messengers. The messenger to the last church age has come and gone.
Amen.
Since 1965.
Amen.
That's been a long time ago. How much more time do you think there's going to be?
Amen.
We are at the end of the end. And instead of people being more enthusiastic about it, they're just dwelling on their sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you may have sorrows, which is promised in the Bible, but we were also promised deliverance.
Amen.
We were promised a rapture of the church.
Amen.
We were promised a catching away. We were promised in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we should be changed. We should be praying.
Amen.
And saying, God, it's time for deliverance.
Amen.
Send us the rain, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Send us the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Send us the supernatural power of God.
Amen.
Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Amen. He will hear your cry.
Amen.
For the time is now. The time is now.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I think about it. You know, one of the great signs was Israel coming back in their homeland. That was a great scriptural sign. Look at how many years they were scattered. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. Well, it was. They were abused, scattered throughout the nations, abused everywhere. And then what happened? It was time for them to go back to Israel. So the tender hand of Jehovah put some pressure on. Oh, the tender hand of Jehovah. What did it do? It pushed them home. And that caused suffering, the Holocaust, unspeakable suffering. Unspeakable. You say, God wanted that? Listen, God allowed it because it was time for them to come home. And brothers and sisters, God may allow suffering in our lives because He's pushing us to come to Him. To come to Him. He's pushing us to real prayer. Not just prayers. If all we do is say prayers, why bother? We need to pray.
Amen.
We need to talk to Him earnestly, openly, confess our sins. Invite Him in.
Amen.
We need to get serious about God.
Amen.
Because we're living in a serious time.
Amen.
It's time to get serious. You know, when this generation that sees them come back will not pass away. Let's go to Luke 21. I'll try to move this quickly. I got some scriptures here. Luke 21:5. You know, we're all familiar with Matthew 24, but you know, Luke has a different version of the gospel, which is the same really. And as some spake of the temple, remember the disciples, they were marveling about the buildings and the stones and everything. Of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that it shall be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what shall be what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Now, when you read Matthew 24, it actually shows that they asked him three different questions that would happen at three different times. And when Jesus responded, he responded about then, and he responded about what's coming, and he responded about the end. Because they had asked him three different questions. If you study the message about that, you know, sometimes we ask God a question, and there's like answers at different times. See? And they didn't realize they were doing that. They were just excited about it. So let's read a portion of Luke 21:5. Verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be in heaven. Well, brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you, all that's happened already.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened.
Amen.
We're living in the last days, according to the scriptures. We are in the end of the end.
Amen.
Now, you can read the rest later. Let's go to verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Listen, even if they die, their hair ain't going to perish because God's going to raise them up again.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Hallelujah.
In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries there enter thereinto. See, because right then, when the Romans encompassed the city, he was warning them, get out. Just get out right away. Don't try and save any. Just save yourselves and get out. And that happened. All the Jews that heard what Jesus said, they got out and were saved because the Romans encompassed the city, and then they starved out the city, and everybody died, and they tore it down, see? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Heed the warnings of God. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written there may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down the Gentiles, until the time of Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, that's now. Jerusalem has been trotted down for 2,000 years, and now Israel's in charge of Jerusalem again. Mm-hmm. They still have the Mosque Omar there, but that's got to come down too. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Listen, we may have had all those signs and we didn't recognize them. The blood moons that they talk about. The stars lining up. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. Well, we could see distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea waves rolling. We've seen two tsunamis. Men's hearts failing for fear. We got it. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Notice, and when they begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Now we know the fig tree is Israel.
Amen.
And Brother Branham took this prophecies of Jesus. He showed how it went right down through the seals. And when it got to the seventh seal, he was silent. And Jesus said, behold, a fig tree. See? Then he typed it right to Matthew 24. We're living at the end. What was the great sign I'm talking about? Israel is in its homeland. The scriptures promised Israel will be in its homeland. They've been in their homeland since 48. They've been attacked on all sides. Sure, they have domestic troubles. Sure, there's always political problems. But Israel's in its homeland. What's going to come to Israel? Those two prophets are going to come to Israel. What's preventing those two prophets from being revealed? The Gentile has to get out of the way. The Gentile bride has to be taken out of the way. The rapture has to take place. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Listen, Israel became a nation. If you look at how many nations have been created since 1948, there's been an explosion of nations. Fig tree and all the trees. There's all kinds of nations have become nations since then. Scripture's being fulfilled right in front of our eyes and people don't recognize it.
Amen.
We're at the end of the end. And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So ye likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen, this generation that sees this end time, fig tree, Israel become a nation. Listen, how old is that generation now? Some people said 48, 40 years to 88. They said, Lord's got to come in 88. Listen, you know, maybe we didn't figure it out just right. Maybe that generation that sees it shall not pass away. Maybe the people that were born that generation, I don't know what it is. See, maybe it's 70 years. I don't know what it is. But listen, all I know is we're at the end.
Amen.
We're like Daniel looking back at Jeremiah's prophecy in 7 years. The 7 years has come and gone. Lord!
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
It's time to get out of here.
Amen.
The seven church ages is gone. The great sign of Israel back in the homeland. The second great sign is God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
He doesn't bring judgment without first sending a prophet.
Amen.
To offer a way of escape.
Amen.
And here we sit. You know, the message following is very relatively little from the population of the world. And then we have a lot of fanaticism around the message. So how many people following the message actually believe it the right way? It's a minority, but it's always been a minority.
Amen.
How many people really have the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
On fire for God. Something in them burning day and night. They long for the lost. They have a longing. They want to see people saved. How many people have that? How many people follow the message and they could care less about a lost person? No Holy Ghost there. If you're self-absorbed and it's all about yourself and it's all, well, look what all my trials and everything. Listen, you need to be born again. You need the Holy Spirit. God help us. Listen, Brother Bam taught us. He said, saved, sanctified, filled. There's a difference in the person that believes that Jesus took his place and the person sealed with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you're not saved, but we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just on our flesh, not just on our spirit, but in our soul. Because Brother Branham said there's people that will be in the tribulation period that were already saved, but they didn't have the seal of God.
Amen.
See? But they'll have to give their life. We're not called to that. We're called to be raptured out of here. And the reason you go in the rapture is because you're one with Him.
Amen.
What's the qualifications to be part of the bride? You be one with Christ.
Amen.
How do I get into Christ? By one Spirit, we're baptized in the one body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See? And that's the furtherance of faith. If you see, if your faith's not right, He can't see you with that. God help us.
Amen.
We ought to be seeking God and making sure of our salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We're at the end, brother and sister.
Amen.
See, God did promise us suffering, but He also promised us deliverance. Let me just read a couple of scriptures to you. Sean might be able to help me put them up. I'm trying to finish here. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live as a Christian in this day, you're going to get persecuted. Don't expect no suffering if you're going to really live for Christ. Now, if you're going to live like the world and act like the world, well, you won't get the same persecution. So that's your choice. Live like the devil, look like the devil, and that you won't be persecuted. But I tell you what, if you're a Holy Ghost-filled person in this day, you can't live like the world. You sisters can't dress like the world. Not if the Holy Ghost is in there.
Amen.
See? So you'll be ridiculed for dressing modestly.
Amen.
Shall suffer persecution. Mark 10:29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. See, it's a promise. Persecution, suffering and trials is part of the Christian life. Don't ever expect. I remember early on in my Christian walk when I used to always like, all right, I'm dealing with this trial, I'm this trouble. Once I get past this, I'll be okay. But then there was always another one and another one and another one. And then I finally realized, you know what? I'm always going to be dealing with something.
Amen.
And I got rid of that expectation that I'm not going to have any problems. If you have that expectation that if I just get past this one, if I just get a new house or a new job or a new car or a new wife or a new husband, then I won't have any problems. No, you're always going to have problems as a Christian. Get rid of that expectation and say, yes, I'm always going to have problems, but in the end, I got eternal life.
Amen. That's true.
I've passed from death unto life.
Hallelujah.
See, it's better if you don't have an expectation that's going to fall flat all the time. Brother Bram said the devil's got one coming, right? A punch.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of it. The devil is always waiting for you to mess up so he can go wham, hit you right in the chin, push you back, right? So he said, keep your guard. You're expecting. Where's it going to come from? It could come from without. Could come from within. It could come from your family members. Or it could come from you.
Amen.
That flesh man.
Yes.
If he's not dead, he's going to cause a lot of problems.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange. Why do we always think it's strange? Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's manners. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. See, to me, that says, trust Him. Trust Him. Commit it to Him. Lord, I don't know why I have to deal with this situation. I got this person in my life that's afflicting me. I got this situation that's a problem. Well, I don't know why I got to deal with it, but Lord, I trust You. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to dwell on them. They can do what they want. I'm going to serve You anyway.
Amen.
Praise God. There's power in that. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Are we the called?
Amen.
Do we love God?
Amen.
Then all things, the Bible says, all things are working together for our good.
Amen.
All things are not good. On a daily basis, we run into things that kind of hurt, or this world pricks us on this side or that side, or you have people in your life that maybe don't behave right, and it just causes trouble or whatever. But all things are working together for good.
Amen.
It's not by chance that you're in the situation you're in. Think about it. 400 years before any of those guys were born, God saw their suffering, but He saw their deliverance. Before you were born, God saw your whole life. He knows the situation you're in today. He hears your cries. He knows your suffering, but He also knows what He's going to do to deliver you.
Amen.
Focus on that. Focus on the deliverance. Isaiah 53. Let me finish with this. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Don't carry them alone. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed.
Amen.
We were healed.
Amen.
The Bible says we were healed. See, He carries our sorrows. If we let Him, you have to take it to Him and put it down. When we carry our sorrows and we're trying to fix it and we're worrying about this and we're worrying about that, no, take it to Him.
Amen.
God, I think God loves when we have a problem and we really give it to Him in faith and we say, Lord, I can't fix this, but You can.
Amen.
And He says, that's my child. Well done. He can zoom and fix it just like that.
Amen.
But when we want to work it out, He's like, ugh, when will they ever learn? It's not what they do, it's what I do. It's what I do for you. He doesn't want you to have confidence in what you do. He wants you to have confidence in what He can do for you.
Amen.
See, that's the difference. Last scripture, let's all stand. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not worthy to be compared. I know people are suffering or in pain. There's different levels of that. There's different levels of situations that we're in. But listen, one thing we should always be conscious of, we don't really know what somebody's going through. You don't know the suffering that someone's going through. The people of the world are suffering too, but because they're not holding to Christ, it can produce bitterness. It can produce many other really hurtful things in their life. But we as Christians, we're suffering like them, but we're holding to Calvary. We're holding to Jesus. We're forgiving everybody. So it doesn't produce bitterness if we do it the right way. It produces something very special in us. That trusting of God. It produces something very, very precious. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I know that You see our sufferings, Lord. You see our sorrows. You see the pain that people carry. Lord, help us to focus on Your promises of deliverance, Lord. Help us to trust You in the midst of our trials and suffering, Lord. Lord, sometimes it's just that we have a loved one that's not serving you, Lord, and we're suffering as we watch it, Lord, but help us to give it to you, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord, that we can't save them, O God, but you can. Lord, there's some people physically suffering, Lord. By your stripes we were healed, O God. Help us to see the truth of that, the full truth of that, Lord. Help us to embrace it just unabashedly, Lord, just without abandon, just to trust you, Lord, to throw ourselves into your hands, O God, believing that you saved us, you healed us, you promised us the Holy Ghost. O God, baptize us with the Holy Ghost. John said he baptized with water, but you were the one coming that would baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, how we need that now more than ever. Lord, baptize us, rebaptize us, fill us up to overflowing. I ask your blessings on your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where's Amber? Which one? 113? 113, Sean.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If the world... Leave it there? Is that what it is? Leave it there. Okay. Praise God. You know that one, Amber? I'm trying to think how it goes. Oh, that's it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
World from you withhold of its silver and its gold. And you have to get along with meager fare. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save you, he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If we trust, if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Oh, take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers. Hallelujah. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there.
Take your burden.
trust. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out.
Take your burden
to the Lord. When your youthful days are gone, and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, yes, Lord, He will never leave you then. To the end, take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt,
He will
surely bring you out.
Take your burden
to the Lord.